Well, brothers and sisters, it has been not only today, but through the various times I've been able to visit with you, just a real, real encouragement to be here for my faith, and my heart has just grown. My heart has just grown more in love with you, and the blessing that I've had to see your faith, to be part of your worship, is just wonderful for both me and for Pauline. So thank you very much. Are you all able to hear me okay out there? Okay. All right. Sounds good. I asked Stephanie if she would play for us, or Sean, or however that worked out, number 79 that we just sang, because the last verse of that goes exactly with the sermon, because the verse goes like this: no strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide, the Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. And where John Newton got that thought is from our chapter in Proverbs, Proverbs 18, if you would like to turn there. Proverbs 18, and I'd like to read verses 10 and 11. And here it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. And so it's verse 10 in particular that John Newton got that thought of this our strong tower and hiding in that tower. And that's indeed what we want to think about this afternoon. So before we get to that passage, let's call on the Lord for prayer and ask His blessing. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the reading of the word. Thank you now for the anticipation that we have of hearing the word opened up and expounded and applied. We're very, very conscious, Lord, that unless your blessing by the Spirit, is also present with us, then this will just simply be a human exercise. And so we ask for that blessing that can only come from your hand, and that you would, Lord, give it richly, abundantly, freely, as we ask it together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever had to call AAA, or if you are a member of AAA or not, to participate in their roadside service. I have, and some of you have. And the first question that they ask is, are you in a safe place? Yes, thank you very much. I'm in a safe place. And then we can do business. If you were to have, hopefully you will never have, but an unexpected breakdown out on the road somewhere, would you know what to do in order to be safe? I hope that indeed you would. If there were, God forbid, some kind of terrible natural disaster, I think you might have earthquakes, do you, once in a while here? We certainly do in the Bay Area. Storms, winds, rain, snow, whatever it might be. Would you know what to do if you were caught in something like that in order to be kept safe, you and your loved ones? Hopefully you would. And when it comes to the safety of your own soul, as you encounter through your life those, if you will, challenges of the world and the flesh and the devil that we all meet with, when you encounter them, do you know what to do in order to be safe? With the temptations of the devil, with your own remaining incomplete sanctification of your own flesh and the enticements of the world, do you know where to go and what to do? How to hide yourself and how to be kept safe? Well, I trust that you do. And we have a passage this afternoon that gives us very clear, very simple, very necessary teaching in order to do that. And it's verse 10 of our Proverbs. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to break it down into two parts. I'm going to divide it right down the middle. We've got this side, and we got that side. Okay? Over here, I'm going to teach you this part of the verse. Very simple. And it's this. The name of the Lord. Now, would you say that with me? Say it out loud so you can hear it. The name of the Lord. Once more.
The name of the Lord.
Very good. Say it with all confidence, because it's true and it's God's word. Now, over here, not quite as many, but we're going to give you this assignment. Is a strong tower. Okay, would you say it with me? Is a strong tower. Once more by yourself. Say it strongly, say it confident, it's true. Now let's put it together and then I'll complete it. Let's start over here with the
name of the Lord.
The righteous man runs into it and is safe. That's our verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. If you know the name of the Lord, you will do something. Those who know His name put their trust in Him. The name of the Lord, that's a strong tower. And the righteous run to it and they're safe. Now, there are four parts that we're going to break out from that verse. The first part is there is something in the verse that is a representation. There's something that's a figure. There's something here that is metaphor. And that something is tower. Okay? The proverb is not giving us a literal brick and mortar structure, obviously. It's using tower as a figure of speech. It's metaphorical. There are many modern-day towers. I don't know about Portland. I don't know the skyline in Portland. But I know in the Bay Area, there are many structures on the skyline of the city. One most recently built was called the Salesforce Tower. You've all heard of the Twin Towers. Who hasn't heard of the Eiffel Tower? How about the Leaning Tower of Pisa? And we go on and on and on. Literal structures. Here, the thought is something that's used representatively, a figure of speech. But the fact that we understand figures of speech shows the connection with reality, because in the ancient cities, towers were a regular part of the city walls. They were literal structures built upon the walls, and they served a very needful, a very necessary purpose. And the purpose of those towers were, of course, in a higher position. You could do surveillance. You can look out and you can see what or what is not around you. They are built there for safety. One of the old structures that I believe they're not used anymore, at least to my knowledge, but maybe you remember the old, what they called the old fire towers out in the National Forest. They built these structures and then they would send out people to, quote, staff them. My brother happened to serve in one of those one time. Many years ago, now with GPS and satellites, don't need those. But they were put out there to do surveillance, to keep an eye on things for the safety of the forests and wildlife and what have you there. And such were the structures in the ancient days. They would actually put caches of food, they would stock them, there would be provisions there. So if you have to go into that structure, you could hold out, as it were, and be provided for. The Lord will provide, right? And so that's the imagery that is used here in this passage, the representation. Now, there's something specific, though, that's said about that tower. It just doesn't say a tower, but it says a strong tower. There's something uniquely important about this one. And what is important about it is its strength. Now, hopefully, towers are built with the idea of being strong so that they can be safe. But specifically, this is noted about this tower. Now, notice that in the following verse, it says that a rich man's wealth is his strong city. Uses the same word, but now he's using the imagery of a city. And the rich man, the strong city is his wealth, and like a high wall in his imagination. Now, that's not good, okay? That's the negative part, but verse 10 is the positive part, and that's where the strong tower comes in. And that's what is being represented and illustrated here, that the righteous man's strong tower is here set before us. Now, to say that something is strong, and in this case, that this tower is strong, is to say what about it? It's to say that this particular tower is a tower that you can trust. It's something you can bank on. It's something that's reliable, and it's going to serve its purpose, if you will. It's dependable. It's going to be a formidable structure. It's unbreakable. It's steadfast. You can count on it. It's strong. How do you know something is strong? Well, sometimes you can take people's word for it, as we can take God's word for it, that it's strong. Sometimes we can know that something is what it claims to be by the fact that it's been put to the test. We know that it's strong because people have tested this tower and they've shown its strength. Do you know how it's been tested? This tower has been tested and shown to be a strong tower by people who have opposed it and tried to tear it down. Throughout all the ages, there have been men and women and institutions and even churches that have tried to tear this tower down, but have not been able to do it. Why? Because it's strong. They've tried to blaspheme the name of the Lord. They've tried to defame Him. They've tried to batter at His walls. They've tried to blow it up. But they have not so much as put one crack in all of the brick and mortar of this tower. It's impossible. Because it's a strong tower. And that tower, of course, is going to turn out to be something that's real. And we'll get to that in a moment. But how do you know that this tower is strong? We know that it's strong because those who have tried to bring down or to make it fall have not been able to. And many of the names of those who have done that, you know what's happened to them? Their names have passed off of history. I could probably quote names and you say, who are they? I've never heard of them before. But in their day and age, they were the strong ones. They were the atheists. They were the anti-God people. They were the ones who opposed and tried to tear down the tower. But the tower still stands, but they're gone. You know it's strong by those who've tried to oppose it. But you know another way you know that the tower is strong? Because you've tested it. Because you've been in that tower. And you've found out that just exactly what it says came to be true. That the strength was provided for you. And you know it from the inside out. Because God told you from the outside in. And by your experience, you know it to be true, don't you? I know it to be true. I don't say that I tested it perfectly. You don't say that. But you and I both know that when we have come into that tower and we have been as that righteous one who run to that tower, this is what's happened. We found safety. So here's the thing that's represented in the passage. It's a tower, but it's a strong tower. Now, the second thing in the passage is there is the reality that fulfills that. And that reality is the name of the Lord. Now, the name of the Lord. A name. When you were born, possibly even before you were born, you were given a name. Now, every once in a while, I hear about some people who were born and for whatever reason, I don't know, they were not named until several days into their life. Anybody ever known anybody like that? It's pretty rare. Most people receive a name before they're born or right when they're born. And one of the first questions that people ask is, how big, how tall, how much does it weigh, and what's her name? Right? It just has to be that way. Now, this is the name, though, that's not an ordinary name. It's a name of the Lord. Now, you were given your name by your parents, those who loved you and raised you, and possibly through all of your days, you acquired a nickname. Does anybody have a nickname? I'm not asking you to give it, but does anybody have a nickname? Go ahead and admit it. Okay? I had a nickname growing up, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Okay? It was my brothers and sisters. They were making fun of me. That's okay. So we acquire real names, middle names, nicknames. My latest grandson was born, and I call him Scooter. That's not his name, but it's his name to me. So we have all these things. But I want to tell you, there's one name that outshines, that is greater, higher, more wonderful, more lovely and beautiful than your name and my name and all of our nicknames put together. And we heard about that name in the first, Jesus. And can you think of, literally, can you think of anyone that you've ever known or ever heard about who has more, if you will, titles, descriptions, monikers, names than Jesus Christ? You ever thought about that? We could go on for 10 minutes and just list off Lamb of God, Son of David, Son of Man. And on and on and on they go. And one of his names is Strong Tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So when you read this verse, because we have our whole Bible, we understand that the name of the Lord is not a generic godness out there, but it's the God and Father, Holy Spirit, Son, the Trinity, the three in one, the one who's revealed himself in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord. Now, that is a precious name. And the commandment says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, because God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Boy, every day, don't you hear it taken in vain? Not just verbally, but by the way that he is treated and so on and so forth. You know, did you ever hear the little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? Sure, you've heard that. Is that true? Absolutely, is it not true? You know, having a name like Trumbull, you can imagine. Oh, you can call me Trumbull. You can call me Trouble. You can call me anything you want. Won't bother me. Not so. Interestingly enough, just this week, I received a Christmas card that had somehow gotten messed up in the mail, so it came late. And I looked at the envelope before I opened it up, and it was addressed to me and Pauline, but the last name, Trumbull, was terribly misspelled. In my opinion, terribly misspelled. There was one M, should have been two. There were two L's, there should have been one. And this was addressed by a person who has known me for several years, but did not know my name or the spelling of my name. Now, I have to tell you, did that bother me? Yeah. Does it affect my fellowship with that person? No. But now you take a name which is far greater than the name Trumbull. And you take a name that is from all of eternity. And you disregard that name, and you treat that name lightly. What do you think about that? Not good. Not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain, to treat it lightly. It's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that is here in view as the reality that the passage is setting before us. Because in Him is revealed the fullness of the Godhead. He's the exact representation of God's nature, the express image of the invisible God. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. I and the Father are one, He says. And so when we hear the name of the Lord, we hear the one who has revealed Himself in the person and in the work and in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus has to fill our view when we hear that phrase, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And we rightly begin to see Jesus as He is to the righteous ones. And as He is to us, the strong tower. Now, so far, two parts. There's something that is represented here, figure of speech, metaphor, strong tower. That connects with the reality, the name of the Lord. Now, the third part in the verse is there's a response that is also given to us in this. And it says, the righteous man runs to it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the response of that is the righteous man running. He runs to it. He runs into it. Now, notice that the word is run. R-U-N. Have you ever looked up the word run in an English dictionary? If you have, you probably have too much time on your hands to look up all the meanings. But I can tell you, if you have a good unabridged dictionary, you'll find that the word run has hundreds of meanings. But here it has just one. And that is to move rapidly toward it. Put one foot in front of another. It's rapid movement. It's what parents say to kids. Don't run with a knife or scissors or anything sharp that's in your hand. Don't run into the traffic. Don't run in church. That's what he's talking about here. There's a time and there's a place to run. And where that time and place is to run is when the strong tower is there. When you hear the name of the Lord, it's running. Now, let me contrast that. Since the word is running, it's not that the righteous man, when he hears the name of the Lord, he walks into the tower. Now, there is a Christian walk, and I preached you a sermon on the walk of faith. But that's not here. The righteous man, when he hears the name of the Lord, he runs. That's not sauntering. It's running. It's not strolling. It's not drifting. It's not ambling. It's not gravitating. It's running to the name of the Lord, the strong tower. You see, the righteous man, he responds to the name of the Lord with this very simple, very clear response, and that of sure activity. The activity of the soul, the activity of the heart, the activity of faith. He moves to and into the Lord. When the righteous man hears the name of the Lord, he doesn't stop and say, okay, now, let's look at this. Let's deal with this, you know, in a good, upright way. And let's think about this. Let me analyze this now. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, you know what? Let me check theological Yelp. And I'll read all the reviews of those people who have run to the tower, the name of the Lord, and so on. I'll see what they have to say about it. I'll collect all of this evidence, the pros and the cons, and then I'll weigh it all out, and I'll chart it all out, and I'll think over it, and I'll ponder it, and then I'll decide what I want to do. Ridiculous, right? The name of the Lord's a strong tower, and the righteous man responds and runs. That's what he does. He doesn't do anything else but that. Now, of course, running, there's a lot of figurative language in the verse, right? And running doesn't literally mean putting one foot in front of another, although there is a time to do that. Joseph in Potiphar's house, he literally did that. There's a time to do that. I've got a brother in the Lord who was a fellow elder with me for many years, and he said, you know, the Lord has helped me the most sometimes when he made me put one foot in front of another. I say, amen. Run. And so, run, as is appropriate to the case. Now, what does it mean to run? Well, obviously it means that he goes to that tower. He goes to that tower where there in that tower he might hide himself. It means to confide. It means to rely. It means to put trust in that tower. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, the scripture says. And that's what this running is. And notice it says that the righteous man runs into it. He goes all the way to it. He goes all the way to Christ. He doesn't stop halfway. He doesn't begin the journey and give up. As I was coming up to Portland yesterday, driving over to the airport in Oakland, it was a beautiful day down there, not to make you jealous, but it was a beautiful day. And as I drove near the airport, I had a view across the bay and I could see the San Francisco skyline. And on that skyline is this Salesforce Tower that I referred to earlier. It's the tallest building in San Francisco. I don't know what it is, 1,100, 1,200, I don't know. Way over 1,000 feet tall. It's a beautiful structure. There on the skyline, it had a beautiful view, a beautiful tower. I could see it across the way. But you know what? I've never been in that tower. I just look at it from a distance. That's not what the righteous man does. She doesn't stand off and say, wow, that's a beautiful skyline. Isn't that a wonderful structure over there? The righteous man runs into it. He gets all the way so that he might be in it. And when you think about those who have gone before us and whose faith and life is recorded for us in the Scriptures, you can see how it was that they did this very thing. Whether it was a woman in physical need, that she would push through the crowd and reach out her hand just to touch the hem of the garment. She was running all the way into the tower. Or if you think about the man who was carried by four other men and had to be let down through the roof, and they had to take the tiles off because there wasn't room to press through the crowd. It was so tight. But he would do everything, and they would do everything for him to get him into the presence of that tower of the name of Jesus, whatever it took to do it. If he had to climb a tree because that's the only thing he could do, if he had to run a mile, whatever it may have been, that's what they did. Not to just get in view of it, not to just get close by it, but to be in it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it. Now, can you see here that the name of Jesus is a name that triggers the righteous person? It's a trigger. When the name of Jesus is sounded, it causes something to take place. You know, the most controversial name in all of history is the name of Jesus, because it always triggers a response, positively or negatively. It's never a neutral name. Loved or hated, believed or disbelieved. And here, the name of that tower, the name of Jesus, triggers a response. And it's like pulling the trigger on the gun at the starting of the race. Boom, when it's fired, they're off. You ever think about that? The name of Jesus, he carries within himself the wherewithal to cause people to respond. And you're sitting here today in those chairs because you were triggered. Because God the Spirit put within you the wherewithal to move when you heard the name of Jesus. Now, you heard it at different times, you heard it in different ways, but you heard the name of Jesus and you said, I'm up and running. And that's why you're here today, isn't it? And that's what Solomon says that we're about here. That the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous man runs into it. That's the response. Now, to the three things that we've looked at, the representation there and then the true reality, which is the name of the Lord, and the response that that then brings about, brings us to the fourth and final thing in the verse, and that is the result. And the result is the very last phrase of the verse, safe. The righteous man runs into that tower and is safe. It's a picturesque term here because the word safe means to be exalted. It means to be lifted up. And you can see why that word would be chosen, because in a tower, that's exactly what happens. That you are lifted up above that which is below. And so, rightly translated, the one who runs into it is safe. Because they're exalted. They're lifted up above the dangers and the hazards that are below. That's the result of all of this. This is God's grace. This is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who always leads us in triumph. Because He is that tower. And because we run to that tower. And because there we hide ourselves in His holy name. That one name under heaven by which we must be saved. And the result has been our salvation when we first believed, and our salvation throughout all of our days of being in the faith. Now, if you know His name, if you know the name of the Lord, this is what you do. You run. Now, in closing this afternoon, let me say a couple of things. And the first is, here's a verse that we have, here's a biblical truth that I hope would help you to appreciate, help you to understand your spiritual state and your spiritual condition. And it's quite simple. And it's this. A mark, a trait, a characteristic of a person who is righteous, whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, is they run to the Lord. That's what righteous people do. Now, if it so happens that you do not run to the Lord, you never run to the Lord, you're never triggered to put one spiritual foot in front of another, what does that say about you? But if in fact, when you hear the name of the Lord, you in fact do, then what would that say about you? The question is not, do you every time you hear the name of the Lord, immediately, without hesitation, fully and completely run to the Lord? No one does. But do you make it a pattern of life? Is it a characteristic? Is it something that's woven into your being that you are triggered when you hear the name of the Lord to respond by running to that name? More and more, the righteous, that's what we want to be, because that's what we are and that's what we do. We run, and we want to run more thoroughly, more often, more completely. We want to be strong runners. We want to be faithful runners. We want to run to the Lord in faith and confidence. We want to run to the Lord in prayer and in need. Run to the Lord in repentance and confession. Run to the Lord in worship and service, in love and desire, in hope and expectation, and everything else as well. We're runners. And we never give up that running because it is to the name of the Lord that we run. Is that true of you? Now, that's generically true of all the righteous. No matter what age or period of history you live in, no matter how long ago you were converted, it's true of all the righteous. They run to the Lord. But secondly and lastly, I want to say this afternoon, there are some particular times when you and I ought to especially be running to that strong tower. And one of those times in which we ought especially to be running to that strong tower is when we hear the name of Jesus Christ and we hear Him being set out, held up, and set forth in His gospel as a work that He alone has accomplished to save sinners. In other words, when the gospel is preached, when Jesus Christ is present in word and present in spirit, everybody ought to be a runner. The scripture says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near." And Jesus Christ is near when His gospel is present, when He's being exalted, and when the word goes out and says, repent and believe the gospel, call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Then that's exactly what we ought to be doing. Hey, when you're hungry, do you run to the refrigerator? When you're hurt, do you run to the doctor? Or run to the medicine cabinet? Then when you are in need, you run to the tower. You run to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an especially good time for us to do that. And you know, the gospel is not just for those who are still lost. The gospel is for the saved. We love to hear the story. And we love to hear the story repeated. Why? Because it brings consolation. It brings to us comfort and confidence and hope and renewal of life. And so when we hear the gospel, when we hear Jesus Christ, we're up and we're running after Him until we're in that tower. Now there's another time when people ought especially to be running to the tower. And that's when, brothers and sisters, when we may, because of life experiences, like in John 11 that we looked at first this morning, when we're feeling it. You know, it hurts when it hurts, right? And when we're feeling it. When we're feeling that we're vulnerable, that we're weak, we're afraid, we're doubting, we just don't know about anything. About anything. Then we ought to run to the Lord. You know, I've driven some of the roads in the Bay Area down there, and I don't know, a few months ago, a year or so ago, they were doing some major work out on one of the freeways there, and they didn't have it striped. You know what it's like when they've repaved it, but they haven't gotten all the lanes marked in it yet. And you're driving along and you go, "Where's my lane? I don't know where I am." Sometimes you and I get in life and we go, "Hey, I'm on the road. I'm pretty sure I'm on the road, but I don't know where my lane is." That's life. What do we do? In this case, what do? We run to the Lord. We say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't see. I don't get it. Help." And that's your faith in action as the righteous, going out to Him. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, everything. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God then is going to come back to you and comfort you in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great time to run to the Lord. It's in the uncertainties of life. There are special times to be running to the Lord. I had one this morning So I was getting ready to come over to the meeting place here. I mean, I was all suited up, trying to, I think, put my tie on or something. I don't remember what it was. I think, yeah. And I took my glasses off and I laid them down on an ironing board right there. And clumsy me, I hit them. I bumped them and they fell off and they hit the floor. Yeah, happens all the time, right? Except this time, the lens popped out. And I literally said, "Oh no!" You know what my "oh no" was? "Lord, help me." Because I'm just imagining myself trying to see my notes without my glasses, you know. Boy, split second, I'm running to the Lord. My number two daughter, months old, sitting in one of these little swings, had her out in the front yard. Our back was to her. All of a sudden we heard this noise, the thunk. She had somehow fallen out of that little swing down onto the sidewalk. Fall was probably about that far, but concrete is not soft at any distance. A Christian friend of mine was right there. He comes over, he swoops her up with the words, "Help, Jesus." That's what I call running to the Lord. I don't know about you, but my faith is not theoretical. My faith is not a theological dogmatism. I believe in all the doctrine. I believe doctrine. I believe the Word of God, as that Word of God and doctrine is in my life. And as I run to the tower, and as I lay it all upon Him, oh, I'm glad I don't walk alone or run alone. In the times of need, I do not hesitate. And I think you don't either. Because we've learned that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Brothers and sisters, when we are feeling so blessed, and we're hard-pressed to even momentarily come up with, "What do you need?" And we say, "I have everything. Twice over. My cup is full. It's overflowing. Everything is wonderful, great, blessed, beautiful, wonderful." Run to the Lord and say, "Thank you, God." Oh, it feels so good when it stops hurting. Oh, it feels so good when it heals over. Oh, it feels so good when it's taken away. We have some of those moments, don't we? And what do with them? We take them to the Lord. And we run to that tower. We run to that glorious and wonderful name. So here, brothers and sisters, what I'm really saying is, any time and every time is the right time to run to the Lord. There's no time that's wrong. Because that's how the righteous woman lives. That's how the righteous man lives. And the righteous boy, the righteous girl. That's just what we do. Because that's what grace has taught us to do. If you know His name, you're going to put your trust in Him. Isn't that a beautiful truth this morning or this afternoon that we have? Because it's a beautiful Lord and Savior. Now to wind it up, you haven't forgot your phrase, have you? Let's put it all together and then I'll pray. And it's simply this: The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your truth. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the weak, the helpless, the sinner, the guilty, giving us the righteousness of Christ. Thank You for putting in us the Word and the Spirit and training our feet, as it were, to be that which Your people must be. And Lord, we have not lacked for anything because of the bounty of Your truth and Your wisdom and Your grace. And may Your Word, Lord, be a strength, be a help to all who receive and hear it today. We thank You for Your Lord and Savior. We thank You for Jesus Christ. And in His name we pray these things. Amen.